We have different things that affect us. If there's death in your family, it affects you. If there are great sorrows that come, that they affect you. I wonder what it is in your life that causes you to weep. What causes you to weep? In John 11:35, there's the shortest verse in the Bible. Many of you already know it. That's Jesus wept. The circumstances surrounding that area of Scripture are circumstances that are very, very amazing. Many of you realize it, but let me walk through it just for a moment with you. Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, have sent for Jesus. Their brother is sick. He's dying. Jesus does not respond as soon as they would have desired. And by the time he arrives in the city of Bethany, Lazarus is dead. As a matter of fact, by the time he arrives, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And some of you will remember the exchange that takes place. Martha talks to Jesus and she says, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. Mary says virtually the same thing to him. If you would have been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus says, take me to where their grave is, and he weeps. That great, great statement, Jesus wept. And we know the outcome because we've heard it so many times before. You know, Jesus goes over and he says, move the stone out of the way. And they say, why, he's been dead 4 days. He'll stink by now. And he says, believe me, roll it away. And he does, and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth. He's still wrapped in grave clothes, but he comes forth. He comes out of the tomb. And Jesus says, loose him and let him go. And they remove the wrappings of death from him. But in the midst of all that, in the midst of the moment where the sisters have complained and cried and accused, in between the time that Lazarus comes out of the tomb, Jesus weeps. This is the only time that I can find, and I did a quick look at it this morning because I really had not planned on preaching this. This is the only time that I can find where Jesus weeps. This is the only time that I know of in the Bible when God weeps. Now, I thought about that for a while. I can't say for a long period of time. This morning, this started percolating in my heart, and so I'm just going to give it to you. But as we look in the Scriptures, it doesn't appear that we have times where we see where God wept, except here. Now, again, I'm assuming you know that Jesus is God in the flesh. So when Jesus wept, God wept. You understand that. And so I considered that thought, where was it that God wept? He did not weep when Adam and Eve fell. Isn't that amazing? His greatest creation. You see, the world is not his greatest creation. The sun, the moon, all of those things. And getting them all in the right sync. You realize that a few months back that the sun emitted what must have been a massive sunspot or something similar to it. And the scientists say that the earth missed being struck by it, not the sun, but the sunspot issues, what it was emitted, the rays or whatever it is, or the magnetic pulse of it, and missed it by about a week. They said that if we would have been in the path of it, if the earth would have been in the path of it, that all the electronics in the world would have been shut down. All of them. They would have been put out of order. Your cell phones wouldn't work. I'd have never gotten the chance to use the iPad. Hey, nothing that is like, your cars wouldn't run unless you're driving, what, about 1965 back? You would be walking everywhere you went, or you'd get a horse. Or an oxen and a cart or something. But you'd be walking everywhere you went. And by the way, the grocery stores would not be in business. Because no one would transport food to them. We missed it by a week. Is it not amazing how God has put everything into a certain path? Now, I don't know what the future holds, but at this point, God has timed everything perfectly. Perfectly. And that's an amazing feat. But the most amazing feat of all is when He created man. You see, we look at our bodies, our hands, and we see with our eyes. And those of you that have problems with your eyes or some kind of physical problem, you understand how wonderful the body is. If it works right, the body is marvelous. But when you start having problems, then you begin to see the intricacies of the body, how it affects so many different things. The other night, I think it's been about a week or so back, I got up and I don't know what was going on with me. I told you about the issues I have with motion sickness. Well, about a week or so back, I got up at nighttime and I was trying to walk across the house and I was doing this. I don't know if Ruth put something in what I ate that day or not, but man, it wasn't working right. There was something goofy, you know, but the body is amazing. But that's not even the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing about the creation of man is that He made you and I in His image. Oh, yeah. You see, if you did not have the image of God, you'd be nothing more than an animal that lives in this world. Now, I know that we have some people that live like animals, but they do that in spite of the image of God that He has placed in them. You see, you have been made so that you can choose to live and serve the marvelous God who made you. There is one of the most amazing creations there is. The amazing, most amazing thing He made. And then remember this. The very first one, the prototype, Adam and Eve, made the choice to sin. And it affected every piece of God's creation. Every bit of it. And we read that account, and if you want to read that account sometime, you do well to do that. Adam and Eve, Eve is talked to by the devil. The devil says, God said you'd die if you partook of that fruit. And he said, that's not the case. You won't die. And he just declared that God was a liar. And Eve believed him and decided to partake of the fruit. And then what is much more amazing is the man who God had talked to and said, don't eat of it. The man was given the opportunity. Could he have stopped him? No. But he didn't even try. And he partook. And because of that, the Bible tells us that every person that's ever been born since that day, all the billions upon billions upon billions of people, every single one of them have a marred nature. And that marred nature moves them to sin. It's almost like that nature says, sin is what I want. On the back of your head and in your heart, sometimes you say, this isn't right. How I'm living is not right. There are issues in my life. But folks, the nature of man, because the marred factors involved, moves toward that unless salvation and sanctification has been part of what your experience is about. So all of mankind. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. See, no one's good. See, that's why you have to have a Savior. That's why you have to have a Savior. And God didn't weep at that. He knew what was coming. He knew what all had been put into motion. He knew that. He didn't weep. God did not weep when His Son died. Now, this is one of the amazing pieces that are so inexplicable in my mind. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all one, they're separate. And so Jesus is separate, and yet He's one with God, but God saw Jesus separately. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't understand how all that takes place. All I know is that the Scriptures reveal that truth to us. So here's the Father watching the progression of what happens. Some point He says to His Son, leave and go to earth, put on human flesh, take all the limitations of it, because you have to die. Just like man dies, you have to die so that man can be forgiven. And all through the Scriptures, we have the revelation of the fact that this Jesus would die so that our sins could be forgiven, so that you and I could be cleansed, so that we could be made whole. And God the Father sent a Son, and He saw the process of what took place. All the pieces as they fell together. And He was observing as Jesus went into His public ministry. And as mankind, as a general in the whole, turned their back upon Jesus. That's true today, by the way. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about salvation, where that thought is concerned. And I tell you, the world around us today does not mind religion that much. They just don't want anything that really impacts their lives. They really don't want that. And so God saw all this. He understood all of this. He realized all of this. And He saw His Son being betrayed by Judas. He saw Him in the garden that night as His Son, and heard Him as His Son knelt and prayed and said, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Now, I know that Jesus knew already what the will of God was, but it's talking about the yearning that He had not to go through the process that He had to go through, and yet the need for it, that struggle that took place. God heard all that. He saw as the soldiers came. He saw the arrest. He saw His Son as He stood in front of the high priest and as He stood in front of the pilot. He saw His Son as the soldiers began to beat Him. And he saw his son as the blood began to flow. And he saw his son as he carried the cross through the streets of Jerusalem to the hill called Golgotha. And he saw his son as he laid down on the cross. And as the nails were driven in, he saw his son. And as the cross was stood up with his son on it, and as Jesus spoke the different sayings that he spoke in those last few hours, as his son bled and as his son died, he saw it all. Nothing was hidden from the Father. And he did not weep. And he did not weep. What makes you weep? What makes you weep? Some of you that have had somebody come and tell you about the death of someone. I remember a gentleman in our congregation. He was kind of a very sporadic. His sons attended some, and I knew his sons. They were adults, and this fellow was a really nice guy. The only problem is he'd gotten himself in the place where he was taking so many prescription drugs, he really didn't know what he was doing most of the time. And one morning, he got in his car, and he drove onto the freeway under the influence of all the medications that he was taking, and he went the wrong way. And he was killed in a head-on collision with another car. And I remember when they called me and they told me that he had died. They said, "Will you go tell Vince?" Vince was his oldest son. I knew where Vince worked at. It was a feed and grain type store, and he was a laborer in there, and he would drive a forklift and different things, and he would deliver stuff. And I went to the granary, and I saw Vince sitting in the cab of his truck writing something down. And I walked up to his door, and I'll never forget the moment of saying to him, "Vince, your father died today in a car wreck." Nothing easy about that. And I remember Vince bowing his head, and I remember the tears. Yet God did not weep at that moment when his son died. I don't know. I don't know, understand all of this. Maybe you do, but I don't. Maybe you get all this. I don't understand everything about it. And then it all seems to be overshadowed by two words. Jesus wept. It seems like that kind of, I don't know, maybe it covers all this other, and maybe it explains it all. I don't know, but Jesus wept. I wonder why he wept at that moment. Why did Jesus weep at that moment? Why wouldn't it have been when Adam and Eve fell? Why would the tears not have been when Jesus died on the cross? Well, I could kind of point out to you the fact that God also knew that the cross was not the end of it, that the resurrection was coming. He knew that. He knew that there was a morning coming, not too many days hence, when the stone would roll back and when Jesus would come out and all the world would know about it. You and I celebrated it this morning when we partook of communion. Oh yeah, we got to lift our hearts, so to speak, and as we partook of that, and that's why the scriptures tell us, that's why Paul reminds us that this is not something to be done flippantly. It's not just a ritual that you go through. But rather it's the reminder of what God has done and what He will do. And so I kind of get that, but Jesus wept. And so I'm going to guess at some of the reason as why I think that's the case. When Jesus heard Mary and Martha say to Him, if you would have been here, I think it produced an emotion because of their lack of belief. See, we want God to stand beside of us in a very, very tangible way when our lives fall apart. We want to say, God, if you'd have been here, I wouldn't have this problem. If you would have been here, my loved one would not have died. If you would have been here, And it seems that we forget that He is here. Our faith is shaken sometimes by the circumstances that we go through. I don't know if you ever go through circumstances in your life. Is everything great and wonderful all the time for you? I mean, never a problem, right? You go through life, you never get sick, you never have a problem, your kids are never a problem, you never have a car wreck, you never have the doctor say whatever it is he says. You know, the last time I was at the doctor, I did not like him. You know what he told me, don't you? You know, there's two things that really help you. Learn to slow down when you're eating. I don't want to waste all my time eating. You know, you guys in the military, you remember how they taught you how to eat in the military? Do you remember that? You don't know. Some of you don't know this. You walked in, you went through the line, and while you were going through the line, the drill instructor was yelling, "Get through the line! Get through the line! What's the problem here? Get through the line!" And they would put adjectives in there too, and that were very descriptive. And they'd get through the line. And you get through the line, and they put you go run over, and you sit down, and you go like this, and this one of them be standing over top of you. You're not finished yet. You got 2 minutes to get out of my mess hall. Out the door. And he had the audacity to tell me to slow down. Ruth keeps on reminding me too. Yeah. Gerald, you eating fast? Well, yeah, I'm eating fast. I'm not eating slow. It's comparative anyhow, you know? It is. You know, your fast, it might not be my fast. Your slow might not be my slow. So, and then on top of that, I couldn't believe what he said next. He said, "You need to lose some weight." He wasn't skinny. How could he tell me such a thing? I mean, come on. I can't believe this guy. "Well, you need to lose some weight." I like me. You know, what the fella said when he said, "You look like you're in pretty good shape," and, you know, round is a shape. Yeah. And so, but so you don't always get everything wonderful and nice said to you. Life isn't filled with the marvelous things all the time. And in those moments, it's easy to say, "If you would have been here, And I think Jesus wept, at least part of the reason, was simply because they had forgotten that He did not have to be physically with them to still be God. My friend, When your life shatters, when everything's messed up, God doesn't have to be physically with you to be with you. See, He is still God. When you see Him and when you don't see Him. And your faith in Him can move the mountains of life. It can take you through the valley of the shadow of death. Because He is still God. There's another piece of this that I think is important. I think He wept because He was bringing Lazarus back. Yeah. Lazarus was a follower of Jesus. When he died, what was he celebrating? I mean, the moment when he stopped breathing in this world, did he not get to go into the paradise of God? Wouldn't it be interesting? And this is pure speculation. Please understand this. But wouldn't it be interesting to say to Lazarus, "Hey, Lazarus, would you tell me, what were you doing for those 4 days? We don't believe in soul sleep, that when you die, you just sleep and lay in the grave and wait for God to come again. We believe there's a paradise of God, a place where you go to be with God and to celebrate the wonders of what He has given you and what He's done for you and what you look forward to even then when the world ceases and you move into the throne room of God. You get to celebrate the paradise of God." "Lazarus, were you eating donuts that didn't have any calories?" "Yeah. Banana splits that made you get skinny." "Yeah. Man, that would be paradise, would it not?" And so, you know, "Lazarus, were you with God at that moment? Were you with all the angels? Did you get to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of those fellas? Did you get to talk to Ruth and Miriam? Did you get to talk to those women of faith? Lazarus, what was going on?" And when you heard the voice of Jesus speak across eternity and say, "Come forth," were you saying, "I don't want to. I want to stay here"? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know, but it seems to me like that would really be somewhat of what was happening. Could he remember it when he got back here? I don't know. But man, Jesus knew. He knew what was ahead. He knew what eternity was like. And he was calling Lazarus back into this. Back into this. See, we weep when our loved ones leave this world. Maybe we should celebrate. I know that's tough. Maybe we should celebrate because of what they get and where they go. But Lazarus is going to come back. And Jesus knew that he would step out of the purity of paradise into the sinfulness of earth. He would step out of the moment of having his heart and life never again tempted back into this earth where temptation is around him. He was leaving a place where people were not sinful and was re-entering the earth where all around him would be sinful people. Could that be why Jesus wept? Because Lazarus had it made. And now he was coming back into the warfare. Did Jesus see the hurt that would take place in Lazarus' life in the intervening years before he would die again? Did Jesus know what was going to happen to him? I believe he did. He's God. And so, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Oh, I wonder, maybe one other thing. I wonder if we make Jesus weep. I don't know. Many of us say we're God's people. You partook of communion this morning. That's the declaration that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. How do you follow him? You know, the world is changing so quickly, it's really hard. As you get older, it's really hard to keep up with everything. I wasn't joking about the iPad. I think I can turn them on. And I've messed with them a couple times. But, you know, putting stuff on and doing all these other things. You're forcing me to go into a world that I don't want to go into. You know that, don't you? Yeah. It's amazing how quickly it changes. It's really hard to keep up with it. The cultural changes, the attitudinal changes. Oh, yeah. Man, the things that I thought were the expectations of followers of Christ apparently are no longer the expectations of followers of Christ. And man, it's a struggle. It's a real struggle. The interpretation of the Word of God seems to be, by some people at least, they seem to twist it and make it look like nothing I've ever seen. I wonder, does that make God weep? When he sees people take his word and utilize it for what they want, use it to gain their desires, to fulfill their wants, to satisfy them. And again, maybe this is the words of somebody floundering, trying to figure it all out. But does God weep when he sees people treat his word as if it mattered not? Does he weep when he sees his people hurt each other? Does that make him weep? My kids, they're amazing. They really are. Love them. Love them. But, oh my. When they were growing up, three kids in a car. You people had two kids, had it made. And all you want, parents with one kid, that's not even considered having children. You know that, don't you? Three kids. Mom, He looked at me. Mom, he's sitting on my side of the car. Dad, James is sticking his tongue out at me. You guys want me to pull over and whip all three of you? Why are you picking on me, Dad? I didn't do anything. I'm picking on you because I don't like you. Yeah. Three kids, man, oh man. That almost, you kids don't know this till you have kids. None of you have to admit this, okay? I've seen the day where I could have hung all three of them and been pleased. Yeah. Yeah. I've also seen the day where they caused me to want to weep. Where I've looked at them and saw their life and saw their choices, and it angered me so much. Now maybe you react differently, but it angered me because they would be so dumb. I couldn't raise kids that dumb. I wanted to weep for it. Do you think God looks at you or me and says, man, Rudd, what are you doing? You're breaking my heart. I think that's very possible that we make God weep. When he thinks that he paid so much so that we could live a life of joy and wonder in him, and we treat it like so much garbage. Oh, God, I've got other things to do right now. But no, can't do that today, God. No. No, God, I'm busy. You know I'm busy. I just can't do what you want me to do. But I will go to heaven with you. Yeah, I will go to heaven. That's okay, but I don't want to do any of this other stuff. Do you think that when we treat his son so cheaply, that it makes God weep? Well, I read that, I thought about it this morning, John 11:35. Jesus wept. And I wondered if I've made God weep. Have you? Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you for the wonders of your grace. We thank you for the joy of your forgiveness. We thank you for giving us what we could not gain on our own. We thank you for providing what we could not provide, for intervening where we could not intervene, and for saving where we could not save. There are some who sit in this room today who have made you weep. The reality is that everybody in this room has made you weep. Some, though, have come and sought forgiveness. Others have not. And today, I believe you want to hold your arms out to them and say to them, come, come. Or as Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand if you